Thank you, Ms. Lindell. Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 4. It's in the New Testament. Amen. It's the book of betters. Jesus is better than everything else in the world. Amen. It's a great book to study if you need a little encouragement why Jesus is better. Then find the book of Hebrews and just look for it. Amen. Right there in the scripture. Chapter 3 is really all about folks that didn't have the faith to go forward. And for all of us, maybe you're here tonight and you're saved and you know the Lord as your Savior, especially when we get to this point of the year. You know, we've had the new year and we've had some things and we're coming to the end of a school year, end of a college, second college semester, and end of so many different things. And, you know, a lot of times we need to finish well. Amen. And a lot of times what helps us is promised rest. You know, I think a lot of folks in this life, they plan a vacation, and then they keep working, and if I could just be faithful till I get to the vacation, then I'll get charged up, and I'll get those things. And you know, a lot of times we don't think about, but you know, there are so many promises in the book. And I think one of the things that we miss is that when we enter into heaven, we think about all the things we're going to get, but the greatest thing that has been given to us is that we'll find rest for our souls. That was preached this morning. You know, we have rest here in our souls of where we're going to be, but it's going to be promised rest that we enter into that has been prepared for our Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when we think about vacations and taking off or doing something, it's something that most of the time we prepared for. Now, sometimes we take off because we're sick, and those are not days we prepared for all the time. Those are not days that we asked for, that we longed for, amen, that we set money aside for, and we prepared a place in those things. And man, when we think about heaven, if we're not careful, we'll forget that it's promised rest that's been prepared for by our Savior. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, he just talks about it a little bit, but we see in verse 1, he says, let us therefore fear. And so anytime we find the word therefore, we got to go back to what was there before. But he really speaks of chapter 3 and a group of people. He's talking about don't be like those Israelites who in the wilderness turned back when it was time to go forward and to finish and to enter into their rest. Now, were they entering into rest? No, they were entering into the promised land. And when they got to the promised land and they realized they had to fight again, they turned back. And instead of going forward and fearing the Lord like they should have and saying, God promised this place to us, so what does it matter who's over there? God's going with us. God is leading us. God's taking us there. Then why am I worried about tomorrow or tomorrow's battle? Because my God is bigger than anything tomorrow will face. Most of us need to focus on today and getting through today. Most of us get destroyed and we'll faint in our minds because instead of focusing on what God has today, we're worried about tomorrow. We're worried about tomorrow's cares, and God will give grace for tomorrow. He will be sufficient for tomorrow, and He is sufficient for today. Why don't you live in the grace of today? Amen. We get so worried about tomorrow's cares and worries, and God's already got it handled. Do you know, oftentimes in my life, I can't calculate what we're doing down the road. But I can calculate this, that God will be there, that it's His will for the church to go on, and that He will supply and He'll take care. He'll meet any challenge, He'll take any battle, and He'll try to... I can't always tell you who's going to teach in every class in our Christian school next year. Okay? I'm just telling you, I can't always do that. You say, why? Because I ain't the one that tries to hire them all. God's the one that sends them to us. God's the one that takes care of that. God's the one that it's His will that we're trying to follow when we're trying to do. You say, well, who's going to take care of this preacher or what's going to be taken care of? I can't always tell you that. If you really ask me the question, sometimes I have to tell you, God's going to take care of that. Because that's the answer that I got right now. But I know that He's promised some things to me. And he begins this, and he goes back, look at verse 19. He says, he kind of takes all of the context and brings it to verse 19 and says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You realize that God's people, the apple of his eye, Israel, who he had promised a land to, took 40 more years. They took laps, 40 years of laps, and did not enter into their rest because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. And oftentimes we miss this, that God is the only limitation that God has in your life is you. That when you, again, sometimes we don't believe that God can. You know, sometimes, I'm just going to tell you, we believe the promise of God for salvation, but that's as far as we're willing to go. But God can win many more battles than just saving me. He's able to keep me and keep me victorious on this side of heaven. In fact, there's a lot of things he wants to get done, and he wants me to yoke up with him. He wants me to take his yoke upon me, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know every time, and even in this, I love the scripture in this chapter. I've preached it often, even being your pastor, because I love the fact that of so many in the scripture, Paul uses the term over and over again under the inspiration of God, let us. Let us. He's speaking to the church. Let us. He's encouraging. Hey, listen, I'm not asking you to do something that I don't need to do. I'm not asking you to do anything that we don't need to do collectively. Let us therefore fear. Folks, I don't know about you. He says here, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, I know that he's talking about here a promised rest when we get to heaven. And wouldn't it be a shame in a meeting like we have tonight of people who are, again, faithful people who love God and claim to do so. But if you have come into this place and because of the, maybe you don't want anybody to call you out or you're afraid of what somebody would say. Can I tell you, I got a testimony tonight of somebody who grew up in church. I made it to 15 years of age, not knowing for sure where I was going to spend eternity. And I did that because every time the call of God was in my life to come and be saved, and I realized the promise of God was sure, if I just trusted in him, he'd save me. But I held back because I thought, what would people think? What would people think if I got saved tonight? And if we're not careful, we'll come to the place and you say, well, how could somebody seem to come short? Because instead of having true salvation, they have a form of godliness, but no power. And I'm just going to tell you, you don't have the power to save you. The same people that sit in the pew and say, amen, you can't work your way to heaven. Amen, baptism will never get you there. Amen to everything that you can't be a good Sunday school teacher or a bus worker. None of that stuff will get you there. The same person will sit in the pew in doubt and question whether they're going to spend any. Listen, you ought to fear God more than you fear man. Not one person or any word that anybody would say could ever hurt you as bad as hell could. Instead of coming short of the rest that God has prepared, he's made you a promise. If you call upon his name, he'll save you. You say, well, preacher, I'm afraid. Well, listen, take all that fear and take it away from that place and make it faith. Fear the right person, a holy God. You know, this book tells us not to fear God rather than man, not to fear the one that can kill the body, but the one that can kill the soul. You see, this body, it ain't going to live forever. It might not make it through the rest of this month, and there ain't much of it left. Amen. But what's inside of this body is going to live forever somewhere. And it's going to spend eternal life somewhere. It's going to spend eternal death somewhere. And what shouldn't we be preparing for an eternal rest rather than an earthly rest? Some folks and people will meet on a daily basis. And think about this. If you just take this to heart and understand that we're one of the number one vacation states on the planet. Okay? And you realize that most of the people you meet will be prepared for rest and vacation and relaxation What a great time to say, you know what? I'm prepared for that too. Are you prepared for eternal rest? Listen, it'd be a great way to witness to somebody that maybe you're working on one of their condos or you're over and you meet them across the gas pump and you ask, you realize they're not from here. Not many people aren't from here, but you know what I'm saying. They don't live here. Amen? Let us, number one, let us fear the Lord. I don't want anybody to miss the promise of salvation. I don't want anybody. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this morning. Boy, it broke my heart. I'm telling you with every fiber of my being, it ain't always like that, but I knew somebody needed to get saved this morning. Amen. Amen. And I've had two different testimonies already of folks that said, she said she needed to get saved, and she made her way back. She couldn't make her way down to the front, but she made her way back, and somebody took the Bible on a bus. Amen. Amen. And led her to Christ. Amen. Gave this testimony. They were going somewhere else for church, but they got there, and it was closed. Aren't you thankful that this place was open? Amen. Amen. Open for business. We're still serving out the promises of God. Amen. Amen. On a weekly basis. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I thinking about getting another banner, Brother James, you know, your promised destination. Amen. I don't think that's what we're going to do anyway. I want you to see here. Look at the scripture with me. He says here, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left unto us of entering into rest, any of you. Do you see what that says? Now, I'm not a Calvinist. Do you know, so there was not one person inside this Hebrew race, not one person, not anybody that would ever read this book. If you know this book, it's not just for the Jews. Primarily written to them, but it's for us as well. He says that any of you should come short of it. That means God died for every man. There's not anybody that he ain't willing to save, and there's not one of you that this book isn't written to that should not enter into his rest if you'll call upon the name of the Lord. I'll move on. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. See that? Talking about Old Testament, New Testament. All them people that are hyper-dispensationalists, throw them out the window. All right, put that away. He said it was preached to them, and it's preached to us. All right? Every dispensation of man, every man will be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. All right? Everybody in the Old Testament, everybody in the New Testament, everybody in the future that will ever be saved will be saved because they're a blood-bought Christian that called upon the name of the Lord and were saved. Amen and amen. Amen. All right? You say, I don't believe that. Well, read the book. Amen. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Now, I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart because I'm a preacher. Yep. But don't think that I think that you hear everything I say. Amen. You say, why is it? Because again, it's also this book says it. I don't mind telling you again. You know what? We need it repeated. Because sometimes if the preacher's got 3 points, we don't get all 3 points. We're only going to take one of them home with us. And you say, well, what if it's the same message over again? Well, most of you wouldn't know anyway. Amen. Preach to no profit. That'd be a sad day. Boy, I want to come, and I don't know about you, but the promises of God are good from God. And then the preaching of God should come from his word and his man. And when it's delivered, it ought to profit you. It ought to be profitable to your life. There ought to be something in there that you can say, yes, I believe that. And it'll help you hold fast. Or, I never heard it on that way. I heard today. That the person that called upon the name of the Lord said, I wasn't even sure God was real. Said, that was the first time I heard a preacher that preached like he believed God was real. Hey, folks, I'm not talking about me. I'm just saying I think we ought to get to a place. Wouldn't it be great if people we met said, I don't know about this getting saved thing, but it's real to them. If it ain't real to us, it ain't never going to be real to anybody else that's around us. It ought to be real to us, and it ought to be clear in their lives that we live, eat, and sleep a promised rest. And not only that, but for all of us, that what is preached, we live and act and believe that this is the very Word of God. And that what it says, it's the sole authority for our faith and practice, not only in church, but at home and in every area of our lives. This whole idea of church and state, what about the church and home? I live one way at church and I live a different way at home. I ain't found that in the book yet. Amen. Hey, folks, he goes on and he says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do you know when this book is not profitable when it's preached to you is when you don't take it in faith, believing. It was unbelief that messed them up in the past. Now skip down with me. I want you to see this, and I must hasten for time. He says that verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, I just want you to be here and clearly see that he's entered into that rest. The person he's speaking of is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and did all the work of salvation. By the way, he didn't need to be saved. He came to save you, me, and everybody that'll call upon his name. And the rest that it's spoken of in the first "let us" is a rest that you and I can enter into because of what Jesus did. And he says that the God the Father, who that is again the Son, who is that Triune Godhead and the Holy Spirit, who said, listen, can I remind you another let us make man in our own image. And they reached down and they created that creator God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here, he said, hey, he said, just like he did way back when everything began, he said, let us make man. He's finishing up all of creation and makes a man and looks at it and says it was good. And then he sat down and rested on the seventh day. That same God came from heaven and he stretched out his arm on the cross and said, it is finished. All that needed to be done for man, and finished his work, and then rose again and took his seat and rested on the right hand of the Father till all his enemies and all the devil and all the things be made his footstool here on earth. And he comes back and rules and reigns in glory. Amen. That same God entered into his rest, and he's going to tell us, let us labor. Yeah. Yeah. The same place that Jesus is resting is where I'm going to rest. I'm not going to sit on the right hand of the Father. I'm going to sit on the right hand of Jesus, sitting on the right hand of the Father. Now, you left-handed people got to sit on the left hand. I'm just kidding. That's not in the Bible. Because I heard that left-handed people are in their right mind. So I'm not sure how that works out. But I'm just going to tell you tonight, listen, I'm looking forward to entering into that rest. You know, the Lord Jesus, he's a beautiful ensample, not an example, but an ensample. That means he lived, he was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. And he wants us to live this life. He empowers us through his Spirit to live in such a way that we can work and we can labor and we can labor in his will to one day enter into that rest. So why do I labor today? Why do I work? I work so I can enter into that rest. You know, when sometimes we work for reward. Reward is a benefit. Sometimes, listen, everybody that works is going to enter into rest that's saved. Not everybody's going to get a reward. And if all I ever had to look forward to is the reward, I'd be in trouble. Because the reward is not guaranteed, but rest is. You know, for all of us, when we come to this, he says in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man, look at that, fall after the same example of unbelief. He's reaching back to those in the wilderness. He's saying, what if we came short? Listen, we labor. You know what that war was going to happen when they went into the promised land and had to kill off all the giants and everybody was there? Folks, I don't know if you realize this or not, but it was labor. Do you know when you get in the military, it's a job. Now, when you go to battle, it's war. But every day preparing for war is just orders and station and place to be. It sounds a lot like work, don't it? Sounds a lot like having a job. It sounds a lot like preparing for the worst day that your company could ever have. And preparing for that day because it could come to war. Can I just tell you about the church? This body of believers grouped together, this is the army of the Lord. And all of us have marching orders and we have station and we have places to be. But when it gets real bad and we have to gather together, even though all of us have different station in the battle, we come together and we fight together. Amen. If the government comes and tells us that we can't have church, we need to gather together and stand against them. Amen. And say, you don't tell the church what to do.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I love what preacher said back when, he just mentioned it again up at Revival Fires. He said, when I told the county commissioners that if you come and put me in jail, he said, it's going to be the next man up until you put every one of us in jail. He said, my assistant will get up and preach until you put him in jail. And then his assistant will get up and preach until you put him in jail. And then he says, until you clean the house out, we'll keep preaching until Jesus comes or you put us all in prison and then we'll be preaching from there. And for all of us, we need to realize that we need to labor while it is yet day, because the night comes when no man can labor, and we need to work, for the night cometh. Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night and catch so many people unaware. So let's labor to enter into that rest. I don't want to go to heaven laying down and sleeping. I want to go like a runner trying to break the tape at the last stretch. I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. He goes on, he says, how am I supposed to labor? See, sometimes we think about that, well, that's my Sunday school class, and that's this. No, that's in the Word of God. He says, and see, we miss that. We don't put it in context together, because he says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing us even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know what this book cuts deeper than anybody else? You. Because when you reach out and stab, you're not sure where you stab somebody else. But when you read it on a morning basis and you go like this, you know exactly what thoughts and intents it got. It knew exactly what you intended to do. It knew exactly what you were thinking. It knew exactly what your motive was behind that. This book is powerful, and it don't just cut the lost people to be saved. It cuts the saved to get out the things that should not be in us and that will stop us from doing what God has. That'll stop us from laboring. That'll make us lay down when we ought to go forward. This book right here is a sharp book. Yeah. You know what it makes? When iron sharpeneth iron, that makes a Christian sharp too. Yeah. The more of this that you put in you, the sharper you ought to be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He goes on and he says, look down. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. By the way, I don't know if you get this, but the Word of God is quick. It speaks of this sword as a person. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight.
Amen.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Folks, I don't know if you get this, but the only person that really matters in eternity to be judged by is Jesus Christ. And when I get there, I'm going to be judged in the volume of the book. When Jesus takes out chapter and verse, this is what he's going to, when I step up and I give my account, he's going to measure it by this book right here. You say, preacher, that's an awful high standard. Isn't it good that he gave it to us in print so we had a manual? We had GPS on earth.
Amen.
We had every word that we needed to do his will. I want you to see this. He says, let us fear, let us labor. He goes on and says, let us hold fast. Look in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now that profession is this. Just let me say, if we're not careful, we'll think of it as what I do. I'll think of it as a preacher and what I preach. The profession means my faith. It's what I profess to be. What I profess that people can believe and be saved. It's the faith once delivered to the saints. We hold fast not to what I do. Because if that is true, I'd be in trouble because I've done everything there is to do in the ministry except for the nursery. And I'm praying that God will have it won't have me go there. Amen. I believe he's called me to other purposes. That's a greater purpose than I can handle. Amen. I can change a lot of things, but diapers I don't know about. I've changed a few, by the way, but I still hand my grandbaby off to somebody else. Amen. You see, our profession, this thing that we should hold fast to, it's not just when we're in church and we say amen. The idea of the message and it profiting us means we apply it to our lives. And by the time we get back there, the things that we're challenged to do is to backslide. We're challenged to slip up and not be what we ought to be for God. And what we profess we are is what people ought to see in us. We had a perfect ensample in Jesus Christ. And listen, so what kind of example or ensample are you being for others? To name the name of Christ and then act like the devil or talk like him. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you getting after us tonight for? I don't know what you did. I don't have cameras on you. That's the government. I'm just telling you, for all of us, if we're not careful, we'll preach the name of Christ and encourage people to come to church with us. But then we'll live in a way that people say, well, he ain't no better than I am. And I do realize that no hypocrite should keep anybody out of church where, like, I'm not going to that church because they got hypocrites. Okay? Every one of us, we ought to realize he's still working on me. He's still working on you. All right? But you know who holds us to a higher standard than your brother and inside the church? The world. They know what a Christian ought to act like. They know what a Christian ought to talk like. They know how that ought to go. And they'll hold you to it once they know you are one. He goes on and he has one more let us for us. So how am I going to hold fast? How am I going to live in that way? Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Can I just tell you, you know why we have promised rest? Because we still feel. This morning, somebody said, you look tired, preacher. I feel those things, just like you. When I got still this afternoon, I was not intent. I did not prop myself up for a nap, but it took me by surprise. You get still and you fall asleep. We feel infirmities. We feel tired. We feel wore out. We feel things that go out of joint, you know? When I run, I feel like I slipped a gear. You know what I'm talking about? All of us can get to the place but our high priest can be, he was whipped and spit on and beaten, and there's not one inch of his body he don't know what it's like to feel pain. You say, he didn't live long enough to feel the joint pain I do. How about when that cross dropped in the hole and every joint came out? And he hung there between heaven and earth, knowing what it was like not to have a joint together. And for all those things. And then push all his weight up over and over again just so he could get breath. Just so he could fulfill all the scripture and say the words that were predicted in Psalms 22 so he could get the last few words out so that he filled the volume of the book full and kept all truth and then pressed up one more time in all the pain and agony and said, it is finished. Listen, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. We have a heavenly Father. We have a Son who's felt all those, a high priest who has the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Do you know that not just the pain, but he was tempted in all points like we are? For all of us in all these different ways, we got to understand that God is so good that he knew not only the pain that you were going to feel, but he knew the temptations you faced and gave you a way of escape, the Bible says. Wouldn't it be good to read the Bible and to realize what exit to take for your sin and your besetting sin? I know what exit to get off on because my GPS told me so. You say, how do I apply that to my life? When grace in my life doesn't seem to be enough for that moment, that individual problem, that individual tired spell, whatever it is, the Bible says that let us come boldly. Now, he didn't say it that way, does he? He says, let us therefore. You know what the therefore is? So I can enter into rest. He's reaching back and getting all that so that I'm not like all those that don't believe. You know what unbelievers do? They worry. You know what unbelievers do? They sit and wail about how tired they are and all the things that are coming. And just those, you know what believers can do? They come boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, I need you now. God, I need your grace for this hour. God, I can't go through this without you helping me and strengthening me and giving me what I need for this hour, this moment, this time, this labor. Folks, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what infirmities you're carrying. I don't know what tomorrow might hold for you and what you're worrying about. I just know this. God is sufficient for every hour of your life. And most of the time, to realize that we don't continue in labor or right at the brink of failure is because we won't bolt. One, the action, instead of quitting, we ought to bust open the doors of the throne of grace and fall on our face and say, God, I don't want to quit. God, I'm not enough. I know you already know that, but I need you now. I need you more than ever. I need you to give me grace for this hour. How about the song? This and how about this? I need thee every hour. Amen. Folks, we sing some songs that we don't practice. In this late stage of the year, our school year, this late stage, he says, come boldly before unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You know, I realize a lot of times when I faced trouble, the trouble was mine. God didn't bring it into my life. Amen. Yeah. How about this? When it was no fault of my own and somebody hit me with their car, God, I need mercy. Yeah. Yeah. I don't really deserve it, God, but I need you to spare me from this mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Tonight, don't quit. There's a promised rest just around the corner. Let us enter into rest together. Let us fear God and eschew evil. Let us labor together until Jesus comes. Let us believe the Bible and labor in it. I don't know about you, but tonight, more than anything, what I needed before I walked out, I threw open the throne room doors and fell on the throne of grace and said again, God, I'm not enough. God, I never have been. But I'm your man and I'm willing to do your work. But I need mercy. I need grace. God, would you fill me up so I can dump it out on your people tonight from your word? Listen, I desperately know that every one of you, if I'm tired, you're tired. If I'm weary, you're weary. But let's not come short of entering into his rest. And I realize that's mainly about salvation. So if you're here tonight and you've been doubting where you're going to spend eternity, don't go another day. Amen. The best place for you to run to is the throne of grace. Amen. And ask for mercy from the Savior that can give it. And grace for this hour. If you're saved, you're weary, you're being tempted, there's just the feelings of your infirmity are overwhelming you. Run to God. Let us do that together tonight. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray. And if God spoke to your heart tonight, especially about being saved, I'll meet you right here in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. But as God's people, if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, why don't you do business with God? Whatever your need is tonight, He's here for you. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. God, I thank You for Your word and how, Lord, I know and I'm reminded often that there's a place that I can enter into to call on You for grace and mercy. Tonight, God, I ask You for that in the lives of Your people, that they'll, Lord, take and not let the message be of no profit, but tonight they would let it affect them and they would act on it and call on You in their hour of need. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Many have come. Maybe you need to come and be saved tonight. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, but tonight could be that night if you just call upon His name. All the work of salvation is done. It's a decision, a crossroads, like that young lady came to this morning, and she decided, she determined that she would accept Christ as her Savior. He's waiting for you to call upon Him. If you're saved tonight and you've never been baptized, you know that's the first step of obedience to a holy God. You could do that tonight. You could step out and answer that as the Holy Spirit leads you. And tonight, as God's people, I know you could go boldly before the throne of grace in any place. But wouldn't it be good in the house of God where your heart was touched to do business with Him tonight? I encourage you. We'll give you an option. We'll give you an opportunity to step out and come as God leads you. As Brother Jeremiah sings, you do what God's asked you to do.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender.
Let us sing the next verse with Him, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me.
Blessed day in the Lord's house. I pray that you were helped with the message tonight. If you're here and you need to be saved and you couldn't bring yourself to come down, please come down and let me take a Bible after the service and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home for a Bible reason. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for our folks, the faithful, Lord, that have stayed the course. Lord, I pray you'd encourage them tonight. Lord, help us all as we endeavor to labor for you, Lord, that we'd labor to enter into that rest, the promised rest you've given us. Lord, I long for it. I look for it, Lord, but help me to stay laboring until you come. Help me to be faithful to labor in your word until you come. We ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.